rigorous, not ruthless. The good-to-great companies probably sound like tough places to work, and they are. If you don't have what it takes, you probably won't last long. But they're not ruthless cultures, they're rigorous cultures, and the distinction is crucial. To be ruthless means hacking and cutting, especially in difficult times, or wantonly firing people without any thoughtful consideration. To be rigorous means consistently applying exacting standards at all times and at all levels, especially in upper management. To be rigorous, not ruthless, means that the best people need not worry about their positions and can concentrate fully on their work. In 1986, Wells Fargo acquired Crocker Bank and planned to shed gobs of excess cost in the consolidation. There's nothing unusual about that. Every bank merger in the era of deregulation aimed to cut excess cost out of a bloated and protected industry. However, what was unusual about the Wells-Crocker consolidation is the way Wells integrated management, or to be more accurate, the way it didn't even try to integrate most Crocker management into the Wells culture. The Wells Fargo team concluded right up front that the vast majority of Crocker managers would be the wrong people on the bus. Crocker people had long been steeped in the traditions and perks of old-style banker culture, complete with a marbled executive dining room with its own chef and $500,000 worth of china. Quite a contrast to the Spartan culture at Wells Fargo, where management ate food prepared by a college dormitory food service. Wells Fargo made it clear to the Crocker managers, "Look, this is not a merger of equals, it's an acquisition. We bought your branches and your customers, we didn't acquire you." Wells Fargo terminated most of the Crocker management team, 1,600 Crocker managers gone on day one, including nearly all the top executives. A critic might say, "That's just the Wells people protecting their own." But consider the following fact. Wells Fargo also sent some of its own managers packing in cases where the Crocker managers were judged as better qualified. When it came to management, the Wells Fargo standards were ferocious and consistent. Like a professional sports team, only the best made the annual cut, regardless of position or tenure. Summed up one Wells Fargo executive, "The only way to deliver to the people who are achieving is to not burden them with the people who are not achieving." On the surface, this looks ruthless, but the evidence suggests that the average Crocker manager was just not the same caliber as the average Wells manager and would have failed in the Wells Fargo performance culture. If they weren't going to make it on the bus in the long term, why let them suffer in the short term?